Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And so we begin with a definition, Martin Luther's definition. What is faith? Do you remember what it is? Faith is to believe the words and promises of God. So in the catechism, there's over and over, as the words and promises of God declare. Simply believing the words and promises of God. Okay. Seems simple, right? There are sayings that have cropped up in popular culture, such as, God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. Okay. Simple idea. Is it easy? Yeah, there's where the issues come in, right? It's a simple idea, but apply that day after day. You find out there are days when everything goes smooth and it's easy enough to believe that you are loved by God, cared for by God, and everything is going right. Then there are those other days, or weeks, or months, or years. Things happen. Things come along. Might be health, finance, trouble in a marriage, doubts within the soul, difficulty with friends, and on and on and on it goes, and then it seems like the words and promises of God are the farthest thing from anything that's happening anywhere around you. And there comes the struggle. You've had those days. I've had those days. There's an interesting idea. This, again, from Martin Luther. And he says it starting out in what sounds really like an odd statement about the strangest that you can imagine. He said, the altar to God in the Garden of Eden was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, where they were not supposed to eat. That was the altar to God. You go, what? What? Where's he going with this? Then as he starts to flesh it out, you start to get the idea. And here it is. Tree is over there, and you're on the other end of the garden. Is it easy to not eat from that tree in that situation? Yeah. Yeah, it's way over there. You can't eat it. Okay. And anywhere else in the garden. But you get under the tree and you see that it's pleasing to the eyes and fruit smells good. Now there's the issue. That also is the place where God asks for you to give a special measure of devotion, trust, obeying him. Because you have to simply go back to his word and trust his word, not what your eyes tell you, not what your nose says, but simply the word of God. And there you are. Faith is believing the words and promises of God. Simple, but not easy. I had the opportunity when I was a circuit counselor advising different pastors and congregations to use that illustration, because in the life of a congregation, there are smooth times and then there are rough times. And somebody says, I'm not so sure I want to continue on here. And you say, let me tell you what Luther said about the Garden of Eden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because that's your opportunity. That time will pass. The difficult time will pass. The opportunity will pass. What opportunity? The opportunity to say, Lord, I'm simply trusting your word. And those opportunities don't come along every day in life. Thank God that there are smooth days. But the opportunity is when things are rough and that challenges there, and you have to say, no, the words and promises of God, that's it, the words and promises of God. I have to hold on to them, and I will hold on to them, and then let God sort out what happens after that. And again, those opportunities are not every day in life. So when the time comes, realize not only that you're going through a difficult time, realize that here's the opportunity in your relationship with God to seize on something and say, no, I'm trusting the words and promises of God. I'm giving that special measure of faith, trust, and obedience to God. So, takes us to the story of the centurion. Roman soldier in charge of 100 other soldiers, and he's found himself in Israel. And he enjoys being there. And things are going well. And then his servant, who's not only a servant, this guy is a friend. This guy is somebody he trusts. There's a relationship there. And this servant says, he's about to die. What to do? Well, he's heard about Jesus, so he sends a messenger. He sends some to Jesus. Please ask him to come heal my servant. And Jesus says, yes, indeed, and heads his way. But now, the centurion, this is what makes it absolutely remarkable. This is what stands above and beyond. The centurion sends his friends and says, I don't need for you to come all the way under my roof. I don't need for you to lay hands on my servant. I don't need for you to do anything right here. I know how this works. You speak a word and it happens. I'm a man with others under me. I give orders and things happen. Realize how remarkable that is? Not even in Israel have I found such faith. Actually, that faith should have been found in Israel. It should have been. They had their Old Testament. They knew how this works. Back in Genesis 1, when God speaks, what happens? God says, let there be light. What happens? There's light. God says, let the earth bring forth. What happens? The earth brings forth. And all through the Old Testament, time after time after time after time, there is the word of God spoken and things happen. The people of Israel should have gotten it. They should have figured it out. And this man, Jesus, why, he's speaking the word of God with authority. Which means not only is he taking the scriptures and studying them and passing on what he has learned from the scriptures, when he speaks, it's like he's on the other end of the word of God as the speaker of it, the one who originated, created, started this word of God. That's how he speaks. So the centurion, it's almost like he has been listening at the door. He's not one of the people of Israel, but he's been listening. He's got the idea. This word of God thing, this where God speaks and it happens, and this Jesus who appears to do that. I don't need him to come under my roof. All I need for him to do is just say the word. He gets it. He understands. And that word of God then for him is everything. And the people of Israel didn't so much get it. The Galatians in the second lesson this morning, wandering off from the gospel, from God speaking and forgiving sins and God speaking and reconciling us, from Jesus Christ doing it all, they wander off into other things. Which, of course, then raises the question, doesn't it? You know what question that is? What about us? I want to see, I want to sense, I want to feel, I want to know, I want to experience. I do. And then God takes me in hand and says, for now, trust my word. But Lord, can't I see and sense and experience and feel it all? No, not right now. Trust my word. And he takes me back there again and again and again and again. And no matter how many times he takes me back there, it's never comfortable. But there's something going on here. Because there's something about the Word of God that is completely different from anything else. You dig into verses about the Trinity and the life of our triune God and how God the Father speaks about His Son Jesus, about how Jesus speaks about His Father, and you begin to realize that with the expressions of love and adoration and praise, something's going on. And somebody has said it this way, the life of the Trinity of our triune God is bound up in the Word. That's the life of God. It's the inner life of the Trinity. And what that means is that when Jesus asks us, just believe the Word, just rely on the Word, we are being called to something that is going to push us, but we are also being invited to come right inside, to share in this stuff that is the life of God. How amazing is that? What a privilege is that? To be invited to connect with God simply on the basis of the Word of God. Nothing else, just the Word of God. But that is the life of God. That is how He comes to us. John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus being that Word of God with flesh, with hands and feet, that Word born in Bethlehem, that Word that walked around palace. Oh, you could run with this theme. The Word in the water, baptism of Jesus. The Word in the wilderness, being tempted. The Word on the mountain, preaching the Word. The Word healing, the Word doing this, the Word doing that. Yeah. The Word of God in prayer. That Word of God walks among the people of Israel, and the centurion, the one listening at the door, he's the one that gets it. This man, he's the Word of God, so all he has to do is speak and it will happen. Okay. So let's go deeper. Ready? The Word of God that came among us. Why did He do that? He came among us to share our human experience so that the Word of God would have to trust the words and promises of God, so that there would be times when He would be relying just like we have to, just relying on the Word of God to see Him through. So the Word of God out in the wilderness gets tempted. The devil tests him. And what does he do time and time again? He runs back to the Word of God. To rely on the Word of God without anything else. He doesn't get to taste that bread that he could have made. Simply has to stay with the Word of God. On and on it goes. And then you find him in the garden, kneeling down, praying in agony, because he has to trust the words and promises of God and nothing else. And then arrested, has to trust the word of God. Beaten, standing trial for doing what? For telling the truth. And he there has to trust the words and promises of God. Goes to the cross. And there he has to trust the words and promises of God as he looks around and everything around him seems to say, no, this can't be. It can't be true. It can't be so. And yet he stays there with the word of God. Forsaken by his father, and yet trusts the words and promises of God. Why does he do it that way? And the reason why is the sweetest of anything. Why he does it that way is because he's pursuing us. He's coming to where we are. Struggling, disconnected from the word of God, not sure about tomorrow or about even today. Not sure what's going on in the soul or out around us in the world. And Jesus puts himself in that place because that's where we have been. So that he can take us in hand, and carry us back to being connected with God. And as this happens in our lives, we begin to realize, well, all the other places I could trust in, all the other places I could follow, all the other ways I could seek for things, those won't satisfy. They'll leave me empty. And there is only one thing that will fulfill, and that is the Word of God in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. Just yesterday, I was reading a poem called The Hound of Heaven. If you've ever read that, you know the archaic language is absolute torture. But it tells the story of the soul wandering off from God and of God pursuing through all of the things that that soul wanders through, and you would not let me go and you would not leave off. So it is with the Word of God proclaimed into our world, proclaimed into our souls, proclaimed into our hearts. That Word of God catches a hold of us. That Word of God tells us time and time again about Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, promise of eternal life, resurrection from the dead, promises our relationship with God. No matter what the world's going to say, no matter what the experiences of life may bring, sickness, trouble, difficulty at home or at work or with friends, one thing remains absolutely steady and sure and solid, and that is the Word of God given to us in Jesus Christ, who tells us that we belong to Him, and He has in mind that we're going to belong to Him forever. Finally, with all of those other things that leave you empty, you begin to realize, I know where my true treasure is. It isn't in anything that I have or anything that I get. It's in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And as long as I have him, well, I have everything. In Jesus' name, amen.